Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 53 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 27th of October 2010. Thank you for joining us as always. And, well, what have we got for you on this edition of the show? Juz alone is going to join me and we are going to be bringing you the news and rumours from Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris from the past couple of weeks. We're also going to bring you the next edition of my Disney Daily Diary for my trip out in Walt Disney World. And then to complete off this show, we're going to bring you the next segment of our Around the World in 80 segments, where we're going to be taking a look at the Polynesian Resort Hotel. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast. Welcome to the news and rumours, where, as always, Juz joins me. Hello, Juz.
Hi, Adam. Hello, Disney pod people.
And hello, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Hello, Craig.
Craig.
We've got no Craig.
Woohoo!
Because Craig's in Orlando, which means it's probably going to be a cheerier edition of the show to normal, because we can bring you nice news of which we're not going to grump about. That's the idea anyway.
Now, don't start me on Cypress Gardens, I can tell you.
Oh, don't get started on that. Yeah, Craig's out in Orlando having a lovely time with family. So he's not here today, which is a shame. But yeah, like I say, it just means we're going to be nice and cheery. Loads of news for you from the past couple of weeks in Walt Disney World. If you've been listening to Destination Disney, sorry, yep, some of it's going to be repeated. But for those of you who don't, then this is all brand new to you. So I'm going to start us off in the Magic Kingdom, where the Haunted Mansion, we've already reported, has had some changes to the queue and to some interactive elements that are going to be outside. But they've now made a few changes on the inside as well. And there's a new unload projection. This effect is appearing on the back of Dune Buggies. So as you come to the exit area of the ride, there's a projection effect where a green hand, think the hand that points to go, or is it points on go or go to jail on the Monopoly board, and it looks just like that, but it's a green one, it's illuminated, and it sort of projects across the back of the Dune Buggy in front of you to tell you to make sure you go left, not right. I don't like it personally. I think it looks a bit tacky. Juz, have you seen it?
Yeah, everyone's had a little moan about this, and I thought, well, it's quite cool. But yeah, people have said, why have they done it? Because you can't really get off right, or you wouldn't do it. So, but then again, you know, they've done little bits and changes, so I suppose we shouldn't really knock them. But yeah, quite a few people said, but it's pointless, I don't know why they've done it.
Well, I don't get why they've done it. It still doesn't, because you, like you say, you can't get off to the right, and if you do try to get off to the right, you get told off. Has there been a recent spate of people trying to get off on the right, which means they've had to put a projection in?
Do something different, couldn't you? Like an eerie sort of saying as they leave, and just change the saying to a random one each time.
The only thing is, if it's a hit, something for hearing, it just then discriminates against those who maybe have hearing difficulties.
Not if it's just written on the back. I mean, doing buggy.
That's written on the back.
No, because if you project it on the back, then you can have a little, you could change it. That doesn't affect hearing people because they can tend to read.
I just imagine they've had a spate of tantrums from 5-year-olds going, I want to get off on the right, I want to get off on the right. And they've gone, right, we have to put this up now to try and persuade people to get off the right way. Strange one, I know, but there we go. Right, shall we stay in the Magic Kingdom then? And yeah, more changes to more attractions, I think.
So you're going to probably correct me on this, but I'm really a bit confused about this.
Go on, then.
Small World, it's reopened. Was it this week it's reopened? Or was it last week?
It was in the past week.
And there's been a bit of a... Because it closed down a few years ago, didn't it, for a major upheaval.
Yeah, they redid the whole queue.
Yeah, put new water in it, blah-de-blah. Claimed all the money back that people had chucked in it. But the change seems to be the fact that the in's the out and the out's the in.
Yes.
And I just don't understand why they've done it. Perhaps you can turn around to me and say, oh, they've done it because the queuing area does this better now. I just don't understand why all that effort to change the in to the out and the out to the in.
Well, the rumour is that the reason they've done it is because it's now created more space for them to be able to build to the side of Small World for what is deemed the Fantasyland Forest Expansion Phase 2. Whether this really exists, we don't know, but it's a big rumour that the reason they did it is to create that more space so they can build behind it and expand that fantasy land even more. I don't know why they've done it. It could be traffic issues, I would guess. Maybe they think that it's going to there's going to be less traffic. Maybe it's because it's going to be cooler, because if you think actually the queue for It's a Small World, although it's covered, isn't really enclosed, it's on the outside and it's all open around the outside. So during the summer when it's really hot, there's no real air conditioning there, whereas now you're going to exit out of there and you're going to queue inside undercover. So that could be part of the reason as well, to keep people air conditioned. Disney haven't said anything at all about it. One of the good things, I suppose, in a way, is that the dolls from Disneyland, those sort of character dolls, the Little Mermaid and all those ones they put in, they haven't put into the Walt Disney World version. But I don't know, can you think of any other reason why they might have done this?
No, which is why I said I don't understand why they've done this.
Oh, okay.
I think it probably makes, I don't know, perhaps it's to do with the fantasy expansion, which, by the way, I'm quite bored with already. But it's just one of those things, a lot of effort to do. Well, if it's to do with phase two of the super secret Operation Fantasyland move.
If it exists, yeah.
Yeah, why do it?
I don't know.
Now, why do it now? I always thought the queuing area was fine. There was never a queue. There's more of a queuing area than there was people, I always found.
But. Yeah, and the thing is with that attraction as well, if there is a queue, it usually moves very, very quickly. I remember queuing through quite a bit in the summer, but yet it still moved pretty quick. It wasn't anything slow at all. So it is strange to see them doing it, and they obviously have a reason for it, because although it wouldn't have been really expensive, it also wouldn't have been the cheapest thing for them to have done. So interesting, I don't know. Right, let's carry on then, let's move on. We've got a couple of events that we want to share with you. The first one is, they're both sort of linked to the 40th anniversary of Walt Disney World in a way. The first one is going to be happening from the 9th to the 11th of September 2011 in Epcot, in particularly World Showplace, which is a pretty big venue, so I'm interested to see how this is going to turn out. They're doing something called the Florida Project, a Disney Trading and Collecting Experience. Obviously, it's going to be based upon the idea of collecting, and there's going to be a lot of retro stuff there. Just to read you what it says on the Disney blog, it says, with the 40th anniversary of Walt Disney World in 2011, we wanted to focus on the feeling of nostalgia that people have when thinking about those early years. The story for this event involves an alternate preview center that we uncovered. So it's a whole backstory again. It was never used because the official preview centre opened on Buena Vista Drive. The experience will be as if you stepped back in time, as we will pay tribute to as much as possible from that era. So they've collected loads of stuff, loads of things from the Polynesian, loads of old postcards from the 70s. Loads of really, really cool looking stuff. There's going to be Vinylmation stuff, there's going to be pins, there's going to be, you name it, they're going to have it. The details itself as to how much it's going to actually cost haven't come out yet. The additional information will be coming out on the Disney Parks blog. But this sounds like a really cool event. I don't know whether I'm disappointed or not that it's not something bigger in a sense, rather than it just being a collecting thing. But this preview centre idea sounds fantastic.
I like the preview centre. I think, you know, it should be there. It should be there all the time. It could be used for Disney groups who want to go for meets. Everyone is desperate for this kind of history of it and all that lot. And they've done it in little bits here and there. We've had bits in Epcot, haven't we? Popped up, you know, the Epcot history bit. And you've got bits other that sort of appear. They should be in one area. I know we have the Disney Museum, but why not have a Walt Disney World Museum type thing? And Epcot, to me, would be the perfect location to put this in. Yeah. Fans would go there. Thousand. You could even charge me, and I'd still walk through it.
I think that's the thing that disappoints me a little bit, in the fact that it's only for 2 days. This World Showplace is huge. It's a massive venue. It could easily be taken over for part of the year, in which they could then use it to represent all this stuff from the past 40 years, and it would be a fantastic thing for anybody to try and go and see. And I'd even pay extra for it to go into there, you know, but it's only going to be for 2 days, and that's a real shame. Or 3 days, it's a real shame that it's only going to be so short, but I suppose, you know, that's what happens when Disney do special events with things like this, that they do stuff that way.
Well, they shouldn't stop doing it unless you do it permanent. I mean, what's the building as you're going towards, mine's gone blank, going towards the land that used to have all the Epcot stuff in it as well?
Wonders of Life.
Whack it all in there.
Yeah, you can whack it all.
Have a complete, rather than have that stupid meeting area and all that lot, put the whole thing in there and have a Walt Disney, you know, a Florida, you know, sort of memory section. I'd definitely go there.
But I know certainly the floor space in World Showplace and the floor space in Wonders of Life, the World Showplace is still much, much bigger. It's a big... It's basically a convention floor. It's completely empty and you can fill it with whatever you want. Just a couple of other things I want to share with you. One, I really wish I could be at, but I'm never going to be able to. The D23 have announced Destination D, which they held over in California last year. They are going to be bringing over to Walt Disney World again to help celebrate the 40th anniversary. It's going to be happening May the 14th and 15th. Tickets and pricing and that lot's going to be coming along later. There's going to be all sorts of things from Becky Klein, who is now the head of the Disney Archives. She's taken over from Dave Smith, who's just retired. They're going to have From Quirky to Collectibles, The Wonderful World of Walt Disney Merchandise. There's going to be Weird Disney, is sort of slightly quirkier, different ways of looking at things from Disney. There's going to be Walt Disney World Through the Eye of Television and Walt Disney World in Pop Culture. That's all sounding really cool. That, again, is still going to be open to D23 members, but they have got an event that's going to be open to everybody, although it will cost you more if you're not a D23 member, and this sounds absolutely awesome. This, if I could go over to Walt Disney World, I would be there for this, and that is the D23 Great Disney Scavenger Hunt. It's happening over May the 12th and the 13th. It'll be happening over the whole of Walt Disney, Disney World. And let me just read to you what it says on the site. It says, following the first great Disney scavenger hunt, which took place in Disneyland, drawing 2,000 people and 575 teams, D23 is inviting guests to the Walt Disney World Resort for a fun-filled two-day hunt around the world. In spring 2011, the first time in the 40-year history of Walt Disney World, guests will have the chance to scour all four theme parks to win incredible Disney prizes in this official Disney scavenger hunt. Each team will consist of between 2 to 4 participants, and additional rules and regulations and registrations information will be announced here soon. But how cool is this? This is literally a two-day scavenger hunt covering all four parks. This is surely, is this not a Disney fan dream?
It's awesome, isn't it? And let's be honest with you, the way the government cuts are happening, mate, you might have free time then.
That's very true. I might have free time to go, but not the money to pay for it.
It is absolutely awesome. That's what we've always said we'd love to do, and one day when we're about 60, we'll go to it.
But you know what? I think D23 could really make some money from this. I can't go out and do it May 12th, 13th. That's just not possible for me. But how about they then sold the scavenger hunt as a book that you could buy in the stores and then you could do yourself for a bit of fun?
Well, how about they do a Disney worldwide scavenger hunt where each park does a scavenger hunt at the same time?
See, that'd be awesome.
You know, and it become a worldwide thing, that perhaps there could be a prize for the international. Disney International Scavenger Hunt weekend.
It's like the Amazing Race.
Yes, just like our Amazing Race in Disney would be awesome to fly it from one to another.
How cool would that be? But there you go. That sounds a really cool event that I really, really, really want to be at, but it's just not going to happen. Okay, Juz, what you got?
Nothing. Next thing.
Okay, lovely. Done. Good night.
Don't have to. I'm doing this, but grumbled about this last week. You were like, I'm going to do this. I'm sick of this.
Yeah, I am. I'm sick of hearing about it now.
It's a candlelight profession. Possession on news. It's the update. So I've got an email which went to you, wasn't there? Bear me a second. Right, it's an email growling at you and Craig, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
It puzzles me because why did I miss a show?
I can't remember where you were. You weren't here. You were away. You were away with work, if I remember rightly.
I think that you've had the show without me. Anyway, dear Adam and Craig, brackets, Juz accepted because he's the coolest person on the show and he wasn't there, and if he was there, he would have said the right thing anyway, close brackets. I was surprised to hear both of you say, when reviewing the list of celebrity narrators for the Candlelight Processional, you didn't know who Ed Asner was. Two words. Oh, my God. Up, Carl. See?
Yeah.
You know, he's basically, and this is Keith Schrode.
Yeah.
Schrode? Yeah? He's basically had a go at you because you were bad people. So Ed Asner is up. And really, Craig should have known that.
And you know, as soon as he sent the email, because he sent us that email through a few days after the show was released, and I sort of went, so is. He's so right. It so is him. And I then I think I sent Keith an email back saying, you're dead right. As soon as you said it, it suddenly became, the mist lifted and it suddenly became very clear. But thank you for your email, Keith. He did say we have an entertaining podcast. We have to keep it up. So that's nice of him. So thanks.
No, he didn't. He said there was an entertaining podcast, but until Juz wasn't there and then it fell flat.
Yeah, whatever. Even though we made mistakes, he still thinks we're entertaining. So
maybe he finds it entertaining because it's not right.
Maybe not factual, but entertaining. So thank you, Keith, for pointing that out. So it's nice to have emails from people if things that maybe we don't know or we mess upon. We do like you to tell us because we will try and fix that. So I promise we will. Right. Oh, man. Do we have to talk about this one? Duffy the Disney Bear is now officially doing meet and greets in Walt Disney World. It happened back on the 14th of October. He started. The new meet and greet location is open daily from 12 until 2. And then get this, weird time, 3:40 to 7. I don't know why 3:40. I suppose, does he need an hour and 40 minutes to eat his bear stuff?
Bear stuff?
Yeah. The new meet and greet is right at the entrance to World Showplace. There's a new Disney Traders gift shop. It's now full of Duffy merchandise. It's all happening. They had the big opening. Vanessa Rosas, who was the ambassador at the time, was there. So there was a speech from Disney Merchandising, surprise, surprise. Dan Cockrell was there as well, the VP. And obviously Duffy appeared as well. He appeared on a boat with Sailor Mickey. And they opened the meet and greet. And it's not just obviously the meet and greet. We've talked about this before. You've got the locations nearby where you can buy little Duffy bears. And as you go round, you can also buy all the costumes for little Duffy bears for all the different countries. And you can buy the Kidcot stops and now related to Duffy as well. You can buy all sorts of stuff for Duffy Bear, and it really is just Duffy Bear mad, including, as well as your meet and greets, you've got, he's going to be on television, he's going to have a theme song, he's just absolutely everywhere. And we sort of weren't a big fan of this, were we? And then Nick sort of told us on Destination Disney that he'd met him and fallen in love with him straight away.
I just think it's tat. I really do. It's just blatant commercialism. It's up to Disney to do that. It's their company. It has no relation to anything. And it's just gone overkill and suffocating Epcot. I just think it's dreadful. He's terrible. It makes no sense apart from dollars. So, I think Nick loves him, but that's about it.
But who's in charge of the parks now? Tom Staggs, Mr. Finance. You know, this is probably something he's gone, we can make money from this, let's do it, let's get it in. I'd be interested to see what Dan Cockrell thinks of it. Obviously, him being Epcot Vice President, he has to be all smiley and happy about it. But I wonder whether he's really happy about the fact that they've actually put Duffy into World Showcase to this much.
Yeah, I love World Showcase. Don't tat it down.
I hope
leave that someone else to do.
Hopefully it's not taking up too much of it and really taking it away from the World Showcase pavilions. But what I think we should do, right, because obviously Duffy's now invading all of the pavilions, and Winnie the Pooh, the other bear, is already in the UK pavilion. UK pavilion means UK, which means Harry Hill. And what does Harry Hill say? The only way we can solve the issue with Duffy Bear and Pooh Bear?
I don't know. I can't stand Harry Hill.
Fight. I reckon we set up a fight in the UK pavilion between Duffy Bear and Winnie the Pooh.
I'd rather say Duffy Bear and Harry Hill, and do you know what? Then I might be supporting Duffy Bear.
I think just see who wins, and it'll be quite entertaining. But yes, you can go and see Duffy Bear. You can buy them now. I think they're $25 for Duffy Bear, and I think it's $14 or $15, I think, for each of his outfits as well. So they're all out. Vinymation and pins coming very soon. Right, should we head over to Hollywood Studios then? We've gone from Magic Kingdom through Epcot, and let's head over to Hollywood Studios, where we've got some news about some schedule changes, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one. Actually, I've taken over Craig's spot again to moan. Ages since I've had a good moan. I never understood this anyway in the first place. I thought, what a stupid idea. The American Idol experience.
Yeah.
Has reduced its number of shows from 8 to 6. No surprise there. I thought one day they would have to run out. And they moved the finale show from 7 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. So you do have a reduction now, and you can see it on the billboards from the times you can walk about. The full schedule is 12 p.m, 1 p.m, 2 p.m, 4:30 p.m, 5:30, and the final at 6:30. I thought it'd be short lived in some ways. I say give it another 12 months and it'd be gone.
I'm surprised how much I enjoyed it. A couple of years ago, we went to Hollywood Studios for the day. Zoe and Harry and some friends of ours went back to our hotel. Mum and Dad were going to stay in because they wanted to see Fantasmic. So Zoe sort of said, stay with them, take them around the park, show them what you know, and, you know, we'll see you later. And we were sort of, we'd done most of the attractions. We got a couple of hours until the later Fantasmic. So we decided, I said, well, should we go and see American Idol? Because I've not seen it, we'll see what it's like, see if it's worth watching. And we sort of sat down, there were some good contestants on, and it was quite enjoyable. You know, I'm not a massive X Factor fan, but this was quite enjoyable seeing, you know, guests getting up there, giving it a go, people getting into the spirit of it, and it was quite good fun. But yeah, I see what you mean, and I agree with you, you know, keeping, 8 shows a day going forever was going to be a very, very difficult ask. Those people who are seriously good singers who wanted the front of line pass to get to American Idol will have been there and will probably have done this. And it was never, I don't think it was one of those shows that ever had longevity. People will go and give it another go and will enjoy it. And it may be that it's rejuvenated every year as a new season for American Idol comes out, as people want to get their tickets ready to try again the following year. But 6 shows is still a lot. And the thing is, if it goes down to any less than 6 shows, do you think that's then going to be too few?
Yeah. I say you swap it out for America's Got Talent. At least have a bit of diversity there. You can go see people juggle dogs and things.
See, that would be quite funny to see America's Got Talent, but there would need to be a huge amount of props and things backstage for them to be able to just show any sort of talent. And
they can bring their own props.
They can bring their own props, bring their own dog, bring their own sword.
Yeah.
And then you've also got that issue of those people who have slightly risque acts.
Pardon?
Yeah.
I know what you meant.
Slightly risque acts. Which
that's what I'm thinking of going, yeah.
Okay, what are you going to do? What would you do?
Probably juggle cats.
Juggle cats. Okay, I like that. Dead or alive?
Well, they'd start off alive.
They'd start off alive, and then they would be dead, and then they would become ghosts, and then they would fit perfectly into Halloween. See what I did there?
No, yeah, it's rubbish.
Oh, okay. I thought that was quite good, but obviously it's not. Halloween is coming up, as you know, this next weekend. And from the 29th to the 31st of October, if you're heading out there very, very soon, there's going to be some Halloween events happening at Animal Kingdom, as well as everywhere else. These are going to be happening at both Camp Minnie Mickey and Rafiki's Planet Watch. There's going to be meet and greets with the characters in their Halloween costumes at Camp Minnie Mickey and Discovery Island Character Landing. And at Rafiki Planet Watch, there's going to be some trick-or-treating going on. You can do some mini pumpkin decorating, and you can vote for your favourite decorating pumpkin, as well as loads of other Halloween themed arts and crafts and a whole lot more. So it looks like every park's really going to have something Halloween-y in their parks this year. I don't remember Animal Kingdom having anything Halloween based before. This might be something new.
No, they're pushing a lot through Animal Kingdom now, aren't they? So yeah. You know, but it's had a lot of investment, a lot of attention, so good on it. It needs it. I think it fits in really well there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it does. And it certainly looks really, looks like it's going to be something a little bit different. And also, it gets more people up to Rafiki's Planet Watch. I always think it's one of those areas that a lot of people don't bother with. So it's going to have something else for people to be able to go up and see now, which would be quite nice and a little bit different. Some more Animal Kingdom news.
Yeah, this is really cool, I think. It's the reservations now for the Wild Africa Trek. It's coming at a bargain price, I think, of $129 per person. This is a 3-hour experience and is available at the moment. This is the introductory price between January the 16th and February 26th next year. The Wild Africa Trek could be a 3-hour expert-led adventure offering up-and-close personal experiences with wildlife species that make their home in the Pangani Forest, so other areas of the wildlife reserve. This is really cool, this, because you're actually going to see areas which no one else normally sees. The bit I really like is the fact they clip you on a lifeline and push you over the edge of a cliff to see hippos and crocs. If you survive that, then you get the rest of the 2 hours free. There's trekking experiences as well, so you go in areas where no one's gone before. And I think, you know, we did the Sunrise Safari once, and that was awesome. No one was around. You'll be navigating through fine and fern forests on the bushwalk. Over the landing is a customised air vehicle, again going right across the wide open savanna. And this, for basically at the end of the day, is it's $129 per person. You might think that's a bit steep, but I think this price is going to rocket once this introduction series has gone through itself. Dead easy. It's 407-WDW Tour is the phone number, which in real terms, which I hate this letters business, 407-939-8687.
Sounds amazing. It certainly sounds like something I'd love to try. I did the Backstage Magic Tour, which was, I think, $170-something dollars, something along those lines, which I still think was well worth it, even though it was expensive. And this just sounds like something completely different. Is there... Do Busch Gardens offer something similar to this?
Yeah, I've been on that, the Savannah. But that was, once again, that was like the Sunrise Safari. Right. You're in the back of a truck and you zoom around. The difference is there, Busch Gardens, is that actually the giraffes come up and take food off you and eat your children and things like that. That was cool.
So that's a good tip for getting rid of your children. They can be et by giraffes. I didn't know giraffes were partial to a small child.
Yeah, as long as they're vegetarian, they're fine.
All right, that's absolutely fine then.
Yeah.
Okay, so staying in the animal kingdom. One interesting piece of news, well, it's sort of news, but it's more of an observation. What the Disney were doing over the summer particularly is Animal Kingdom had got some evening extra magic hours going on and were taking the park into later into the evening when it was dark, and it meant that you could ride things like Expedition Everest in the dark. But the operating hours for Animal Kingdom, are now out all the way through to the end of May 2011. But the interesting thing is that there are no evening extra magic hours scheduled after February the 23rd. Now, this could change. Evening magic hours could return, but at the moment, as it stands, they seem to have got rid of all evening extra magic hours after the 23rd of February. Do you think there's a reason for this?
Yeah, all the animals come out of hibernation and want to go to sleep at a normal time.
Yeah, could be that. I suppose it was only a test, really, wasn't it, for the period to see how well it did. I'm trying to think January, February. February seems a strange time to stop, especially if you've got Easter coming up later and there's going to be spring break and all those sort of things, and yet there's going to be no evening extra magic hour for Animal Kingdom. Does this have anything to do with maybe what time it gets dark? Does it get dark later in February? I don't really know.
No, because the clocks aren't changing further back then. I mean, you've got the darkness now, I suppose, kicking in. So, I don't know. Sometimes they change their mind. Animal Kingdom, they're really funny about them, aren't they? Because of the animals, etc. So it might be a case of they'll trial it, see what everyone comes back and vets come back with, and everyone else and says, oh, the animals were disturbed with the rides running all night in the darkness, where they come back and go, yeah, the animals were fine with it. I think that's probably what they're waiting to hear back from.
Yeah, that's possibly very, very true. Oh, there we go. Little bit of insight there from Just. Thank you. Right.
Tired now.
We've got one more piece of Halloween news, I think, as we're heading out of the parks, going to Downtown Disney.
Yeah, I think we've actually sent Craig along to this. Basically, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party was sold out, of course, for Halloween. It gets sold out just as soon as it comes up.
Yeah.
But just let everyone know that downtown, there's the trick-or-treating all the way down there. There's free sweets again and entertainment from 5 to 9 at October the 30th and 31st. It's something they do every year. It's a whole down the whole mile-long west side. Through Pleasure Island into Marketplace. There's about 20 stations of trick-or-treating candy, trick-or-treat, available, and there's maps and bits of the pieces are happening in the events inside the stores. There's ghost tellers on the boardwalk. There's a freaky cool DJ, which you can do without. But this kind of thing is absolutely brilliant. I think, you know, people go into Magic Kingdom and I can understand it, but Downtown Disney is a magical place anyway. I just think it's a great place to go down. But once again, personally, if you're staying in property, I'd get the bus down there because the car parks are going to be chocker.
Yeah, they are usually really, really busy around there. And unfortunately, there's no real other place to park if you're not a non-resort guest other than those car parks. And one of the things, if it is really late and it is looking quite chocker, it always is very empty or emptier right over to the left-hand side of Pleasure Island. Right as you get round towards, sorry, not Pleasure Island, West Side. Right as you get down towards where Cirque du Soleil is, right over that side, it gets quite quite empty. And also, if you head down there sort of just after the first showing starts, is finished, a lot of people who park there for Cirque du Soleil will be coming out, will be taking their cars out, so you can move and grab a spot down there as well. So there goes a little tip. Right, I think it's back over to me, isn't it? Well, it must be. There's only two of us on today. Very quickly, Downtown Disney's Ride Makers has now added Cars. So Cars have now debuted at Ride Makers. You used to just be able to buy your bog standard cars in there, but now they have added Sally, Mater and Lightning McQueen to the range. Each of them are at a cost of $35. So that's your basic, and then you can add more onto it to make them remote control as well. But nice to see that they're beginning to use some of the Disney stuff for the cars inside Ride Makers. I know they certainly added them to the US Disney stores. I was sort of hoping to find a Ride Makers inside the new UK store in Milton Keynes, but it didn't happen. But certainly Sally Mater and Lightning McQueen, $35 each in the Ride Makers store.
Craig was down there though, wasn't he? He said it was looking really, really empty.
Yeah, the thing is, it's such a massive building. You know, they are only using the downstairs, the one floor, and you've got the other two floors that they use for Virgin. It's completely empty. And because it's such a vast floor, they've tried to fill it with a load of cars, but it still, you know, it doesn't matter how many people you get in there. It still looks empty because of the amount of space there is there for people to come into.
Do you think it needs splitting then into like a marketplace with different little stores on all the floors?
Yeah, I think it would do really well if they were to split that into almost like a mini shopping mall in the middle of Downtown Disney. There's more than enough space to hold sort of six, maybe eight stores in there.
Okay, I'll get on it straight away.
Okay.
Okay, if we're talking down the Downtown Disney still, and this is a bit sad news. we haven't, you know, been mentioning the fact that there's some development work going on down at Pleasure Island, and things were going to start changing, and they're going to be knocking things down and building up. But yeah, the Disney filed papers with the county for redevelopment work, and most notably it mentions the area development between the Comedy Warehouse and the demolished Adventurers Club. By saying demolished Adventurers Club, that basically means it ain't going to be there. It is gone. And I know someone who's very sad about this, because I think you seem to be sad about it because you're annoyed about the whole history disappearing, is Mr. Yeah. Adam.
Yeah, I really am, because there's the whole story to do with Merriweather Pleasure, and each of the buildings in Pleasure Island has a particular story. Portobello Yacht Club was linked to Adventurers Club, that was linked to the Empress Lily, which is now Fulton's. There was an entire story that went through as to how this all existed. And with the Adventurers Club going, that sort of takes away part of this story. And I'm hoping they're sort of going to put a new story in its place rather than just forget about it completely and just put shops and stuff in it.
Because there was little plaques and things knocking around, wasn't
there? There were plaques all over the place. So you had Merriweather Pleasure, who lived in Portobello Yacht Club. He had loads of trinkets and everything. They arrived on the Empress Lily. He had loads of trinkets and things that he collected from around the world. And his wife basically told him, get your collection out of the house or I'm leaving you, basically. So he then built the Adventurers Club to store these things in. And then he would invite all of his adventurous friends to come and stay and come and visit at the Adventurers Club. And they would bring all bits and pieces with it. And that's how it all linked. And then you had his sons who owned the yacht making area. And then you had the stage, which was believed to be something to do with, linked with them trying to get aliens to come down. And it's a really bizarre story. It's an absolutely brilliant story. We talked about the story of Pleasure Island way back on sort of one of the first three or four episodes of the podcast. So go back and listen to that if you want to. I just apologise for the poor quality of the rest of the show.
Is that because I wasn't on it?
That's because you went on it, yeah. It was just me waffling. There was such a great story linked to it all, and that's all sort of started to disappear now as they've taken plaques down and moved things and taken things out.
It would be great, I think, just a family adventurers club.
Yeah,
where the kids can go in and everything. I think that kids would appreciate that as much as parents, even if it's just an eatery type affair. With the show happening, a bit like, what's it called now? Fort Wilderness.
Oh, the Hoop Dee Doo.
Hoop Dee Doo. That kind of thing would be absolutely cool there, but have a museum-y area as well.
That would be cool. I'd like to hear about that, so that'd be interesting. But
I'll work on that as well.
Please do work on that. That'd be great. Right, okay. We've talked about Halloween. Let's talk a little bit about Christmas, because, again, another D23 event. Magic and Merriment event at Walt Disney World. It's for D23 members and up to three guests who are going to be able to go to Walt Disney World Resort between the 10th and the 12th of December. It starts at 9 p.m. on the Friday, as guests can congregate at the One Man's Dream to enjoy a private screening of Archiving the Archives, a brand new documentary to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Walt Disney World. Then on Saturday morning, there'll be a hot holiday cider and flavoured coffees and Christmas stolen inside the Odyssey Centre in Epcot, where guests will be greeted by members of the D23 team, and there'll be some holiday surprises. President Meg Crofton will be there to welcome guests. There'll be some stories from the magic of the resort. There's also going to be chefs there who are going to be doing all sorts of baking and bits and pieces as well. So then you can head over to the American Gardens Theatre as the sun begins to set for yet more stuff, including the Candlelight Procession that's going to be going on over there. There's also going to be a special performance that's going to be narrated by Whoopi Goldberg. Then, as if that isn't enough already, guests are then going to be taken or transported over to the Disney Hollywood Studios, where they're going to have a holiday feast on the set of Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular. Cool. It's almost like they've found a new way of using Indiana Jones. There's been several things that have happened in there, special shows for the Star Wars Celebration thing that happened. They've had a couple of these. They had a special Adventurers Club thing in there for a group. They're now using it for this as well. Then after the park closes, everyone's going to head to the New York Street for a private viewing of the Osborne Family Spectacular Dancing Lights. And there's going to be a special presentation hosted by Walt Disney Entertainment's John Phelan. Then the Sunday morning, there's going to be a mix and mingle over brunch at the Top of the World Lounge in Bay Lake Tower. And there's going to be all sort of just so much stuff going on. All some great, great stuff. The cost, though, the cost is... Oh, there's also a tour of the Cinderella Castle Dream Suite. There's going to be Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party tickets in there as well. A dessert, private dessert and hospitality area on the Liberty Bell. Reserve fireworks. A special gift for D23 members. You name it, it's all going to be going on. The cost is $235 per person. It's going to become available as of when it's released on the Wednesday, Tuesday the 26th. So it's now available. So hopefully there might be some tickets left if you want to go and get them. But yeah, $235 per person. Again, another fantastic sounding event. If I was living in the US, I would go for this. But unfortunately, I'm not. And D23 still really isn't worth it for me, but it certainly sounds a great event.
I don't know, if I lived in the US and was rich, Disney would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that is true.
So sad and miserable now.
So sad and miserable. It does sound awesome, but I'm not going to be there. But there you go. Right, let's jump on a plane, fly over to Disneyland Resort Paris, which is a very cold Disneyland Resort Paris. We've got a bit of a health and safety announcement for Disney, although this one probably, if you have been ill, this could be the reason why. Juz.
Yep. Disneyland Paris are contacting all guests who have visited the resort between the 26th of September and the 4th of October. And no, it is not the usual survey, sadly. They're requesting that any guests who have eaten smoked or marinated salmon in one of the following restaurants to contact them on the +33 if you're phoning from UK, 160-301-091. I think Adam's going to probably put this on the forum as well, because it's quite important. Yes. Or email them direct at dlp.guest.communication@disney.com. I'm sorry, but let's be honest with you. They're checking on people who have eaten food, which is a bit iffy here, and then they give you an email address, which is about 450 million characters. Yeah. Just put ill@disney.com. It's Cafe Mickey at Disney Village from September the 29th until October the 4th. Interventions at Disneyland Hotel on October the 1st. Obviously, they had one batch of the fish. And Chicago Steakhouse at Disney Village on September the 26th. Brunch only on that one. So I think the main thing to be aware of, if you ate between the 26th and 4th of October at Cafe Mickey and had the smoked or marinated salmon, that, you know, please contact them. We'll put the details on the forum.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's nothing to worry about. Obviously, iffy fish.
Yes, iffy-wiffy fish. Right, let's head into the parks then, just very quickly. Because Chewbacca has been spotted at Disneyland Paris. Interestingly, Chewbacca was spotted walking around Discoveryland last week, and it looks like this may be a return of some of the Star Wars characters. Once again, Disneyland Paris have not officially announced everything. Surprise, surprise. And this could be the return of Chewbacca and some of those characters appearing in the park. We do not know, but when we do know, we will certainly let you know. So there we go. Hopefully Chewbacca and some of those characters returning to Disneyland.
Yeah, or it could just be a French woman who hasn't shaved.
Oh man. Alright, anyway, should we move on?
Okie dokie. This is really, really cool. Wally and Eve have arrived outside the Videopolis in Discoveryland at Disneyland Park. They can found near the entrance to the Arcade Alpha and Arcade Beta. Really, the picture is dead cool. it really is a fantastic little model they've put by the trees and on the sort of the grassy verge. What do you think? I think it looks boss.
Cool. It really does look amazing. I'm going to try and get my photo taken in front of it at the weekend. It does look awesome. I think this was a temporary measure that was put in. It's either Tokyo or Hong Kong. I can't remember which one. And then they've taken that out and they put it in a permanent location. But the cool thing is, if you look at it, it looks like Eve's actually floating. I think they've somehow attached her to the end of Wally's arm, but it doesn't look like him. And it looks like Eve is floating. And at night, even better, her eyes light up and everything as well.
You've got to get a picture at night time as well. It does look awesome.
It does look awesome. So if you're heading out to Disneyland Paris, do go over to Discoveryland and check that out, because that looks really, really cool. Now, there's been some changes over at Cowboy Cookout Barbecue, of which we had changed it so you could only buy drinks early on in the morning. Well, they've now changed something else there as well, and that is the new tea party with Disney characters that's going to be going on in the Cowboy Cookout. This happens every day, or according to the poster, it happens every days from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Now, I say tea party, basically it is going to be an amazing pastry buffet party. It's just full of pastries. Can you imagine how cool this will be? Pastry buffet. It's going to be there, Western style restaurant. There's going to be Mickey, though it looks like there's going to be Woody there as well. The prices are valid currently until the 8th of November. That's €17 per person. €17 per person. I am almost tempted to go and try this out, but I don't think I'm going to have time. Because I know we've already... In fact, I'm not going to have time because... The one evening we've got at 5 o'clock, we have already got something planned. Otherwise, yes, I'd have so gone and tried this out and had this pastry buffet. It does sound fantastic. Just piles and piles of pastry and Disney characters. And what more could you want, eh?
Is it a cowboy Mickey?
I don't know.
It should be. A bit like the Mickey Backyard Barbecue they should do there. It's a perfect setting.
Yeah. So it might be a little bit like that, but I really like Cowboy Cookout anyway, so it'd be cool to have the pastry.
Oh, it's one of the best there for food.
Yeah, that and El Fuente del Oro, which I really like.
Oh, yeah.
So there we go. That sounds cool. Something new in Frontierland, a nice new buffet-style experience.
Woohoo!
Right, one more bit of news from Disneyland Paris, I think, Juz.
Yeah, basically, you've missed it. Sorry. Basically, what's happened this week, if you know, you're going to kick yourself now if you wanted to, they've actually been interviewing up to 1,000 candidates for roles in its Paris theme park, Disneyland Paris. The events happened at the beginning of the week in London and on Wednesday in Cardiff. Sorry, excuse me, a bit of a strange location, I thought, between London and Cardiff, but...
Yeah.
There you go. Perhaps the Welsh accent sounds vaguely like a French accent. So they've been going around this sort of massive European recruitment drive designed to fill 6,000 job opportunities. Whoa, what an investment. Seems they've cut down a lot. So they've been going round and round. And this week, yeah, you've had your chance. You've missed it. And hopefully you can get it next year. Sorry that we're so late in telling you this. Well, it's Adam's fault.
I sort of put this news in, although because Disney didn't really announce it, only came out sort of last week that this was going to be happening. But the reason I put it in is purely for the fact that it's amazing that they're really now trying to recruit a lot of people from this country. 6,000 job opportunities in 2011. They're looking for more than 14,000 employees from over 100 nations. That's, you know, that's a huge amount of people that they're going to be working over at Disneyland Paris. And they're planning on interviewing 1,000 candidates for roles in their theme parks. It does sound like they're really trying to incorporate now more international workers, I suppose.
Yeah, about time too. There always seems to be less English than... Everyone speaks English over there. Because, you know, you're trying to do French and they go, "I speak English, you fool." but no, you know, I think it's really cool.
One more piece of news for you, and this is Disney related, although not theme park related. Kes Francis, who listens to the show, she came to Mouse Meets dressed as Belle, and it's about her wishes basically come true, because over this next week she is indeed going to be playing Belle at Southborough's Royal Victoria Hall in Kent. They are putting on the Disney classic Beauty and the Beast, the West End musical. It's going to be on between the 26th and the 30th of October. So you've missed the first couple of days, but she did ask me to let you guys know that if you are in that Kent sort of area, you do want to come and see it, you can do. So the dates that are going to be left, if you're listening to this on the Wednesday or Thursday, 2:30 and 7:30 on the Wednesday, Thursday 7:30, Friday 7:30, 7:30 and Saturday 2:30 and 7:30. Tickets cost £12 and concessions for children and for OAPs. They're called the Lamps Theatre, I think they're called. You can find out more about them by searching for Lamps Theatre and looking for the South Royal Victoria Hall. So if you listen to this, Kez, good luck for tonight or today or whenever you're performing. And if you are in that Kent sort of area, do make sure you go down and see that.
She did that most amazing picture of that place we ate, where she had that book with that library thing. That looked so... that really did look incredible when she did it.
And it was a complete fluke as well, wasn't it? Because we at Mouse Meets last year, we went and sat upstairs in a Wetherspoons in Manchester, and she'd got a bell outfit on, and there was just this massive bookshelf at the top of the stairs, and she just went over and had this photo taken. It looked just like she could have been in the Beast Castle.
It was brilliant. Amazing.
Columbus Vacation Villas, Central Florida vacation home rentals and property management services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
Right, well, there's all of the news. But we've got some announcements we want to make to you with regards to several of the projects and bits and pieces we've been doing. If you were listening to, or you came along to the live chat that happened on Sunday, you would have heard all of them. You would have heard all of this information before. You did get kicked out for spamming, which was quite funny. But there's some information we want to share with you to do with some of the things that we're currently doing. Firstly, if you are ill, and I hope you're never ill to have to go into hospital, but if you are ill and you are going to need to be hospitalised, you may just be able to listen to this podcast on hospital radio, because we've got several hospital...
Sorry.
just to make you feel even worse. Hospital radio stations across the country are beginning to take up Disney Brit as part of their radio programming, on a general everyday basis, and we will let you know when we have a little bit more detail about which of the radio stations that are planning on taking us on board, and then you'll know if you're in hospital you might be able to find our show, so you're not going to miss one. So that's something that we're really excited about, which is really cool. You know, we sort of approached these radio stations and sort of said, look, we have the podcast, we want to offer you it for free, because obviously radio stations are a charity in a way. They're run by volunteers, and sometimes they find it very difficult to be able to fill all of the hours, and there's nothing worse than people being in hospital and wanting to listen to the radio, have something to entertain them, and they're not, there'll be anything on because there's no volunteers to run it at that particular time. So we wanted to offer out our show to people who are working on radio stations in hospital radio. So if you work, you listen to this, you work for hospital radio or your local radio or anything like that, and you'd like to take Disney Brit on as part of your radio programming, then we're more than happy for you to do that. You can contact us at podcast@disneybrit.com. We'd love to hear from you. Disney Brit and I on Orlando. Right, eMags. We talked about the fact that we were going to be producing an eMag. Juz, do you want to say a little bit more about that?
Well, you're doing a lovely job. I don't want to interrupt you. You're on a flow. You did a lovely flow job on Sunday.
Thanks. But do you want to talk about eMags?
We talked about it, and then we spent about 2 months between us trying to find best way to produce it. And a couple of options came up, and there's third party options which we gave us a lot of deals, but we weren't totally happy with. But no, in the end, we've taken the big leap, and we purchased some software. We've installed the software, and we're now working on producing two eMags, I believe, now rather than just the one.
We are, because we talked about doing it as an Orlando magazine, but the problem we had is that we wanted to include some Paris, Disneyland Paris information in some of the magazines, and suddenly to have a Paris section in an Orlando magazine didn't really make much sense. So we decided we'd do two magazines. You're going to do we're all going to contribute, and we've got listeners of people who
editors in chief.
We're editors in chief. Just we'll be editors in chief of the Iron Orlando magazine, and I will be editor in chief of what we're going to be calling Mouse Mag. There we go. And that's going to be our Disney-based magazine. It will include movies, it'll include DVD releases, it'll be hotels, parks, the lot, you name it. Some of the stuff that I'm going to do out in Disneyland Paris this weekend will be in the first of the Mouse Mag magazine as well. So loads and loads of stuff regards to that, which are going to be coming up very, very soon. So that's going to be really cool. We're looking December, January release date, I think, for those, aren't we?
Yeah, the Greek quarterly, so we're looking at a winter start.
Yes, definitely. Okay, next thing, because we've got loads. I can't believe how much we've been doing recently. Disney Britain Isle Orlando have now got their own apps. These apps are have got a basic start point. They're going to be in some development. There'll be some updates and bits and pieces for them as well. But these are a way of you being able to keep in touch with us with the news, be able to send us emails, go onto our forums, and also listen to the podcast live on the app itself. The Isle Orlando one, I think, is slightly further ahead than the Disney Brit one at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, about catching up the same, aren't we? It's you, because you're such a diva going, I want this, I want that.
It's me, I want this and that and the other. No.
But no, they're both coming along really well, I think.
Yeah, and they're going to be hopefully released within the next sort of 2 or 3 weeks or so. Yeah. So we'll let you know about that probably on the next show, or if not on the next show, we'll certainly let you know about it via Facebook, Twitter, the forums, all those sort of things. So do go and check those out.
And we are playing with Android as well, just to point out.
We are playing with Android, yes. We are trying to play with Android to try and get some Android stuff up as well. I can't do Android, so Juz is doing that. Well, she's just done most of it so far, because I'm still trying to learn how to code, but there we go. That's minor. Right. The last bit of news that's regards to us guys and those things that's happening in the UK, that is Mouse Meets 2011. It's almost time for the big announcement. Again, if you heard this on the live show on Sunday, you'll know all of this, but Mouse Meets 2011 is set in stone. 30th of April to the 1st of May 2011. It will be happening at the Copthorne Hotel in Birmingham, smack bang in the city centre. And if you want to come and join us, we'd love to see you. Hotel currently has some great offers on rooms, which you can go and get for as little as £47 a night at the moment. So that's a great rate on some of the hotel rooms. I know some people have started to book those up already. The event, now one of the things that people asked last year was that the event was slightly longer, because we started in the Saturday in the evening and we did all day on Sunday, and people sort of said, could we have a little bit longer on the Saturday, because it's something we've got going and then it sort of ended. So we are going to be running the event for almost over the entire 2 days. It's going to start sort of mid-morning on the 30th. It's going to run through to the evening on the 1st of May. Because of the extra time we're going to be running the event, because of some of the events we're hoping to run this year, tickets are going to be priced at £20 per person. There are no child rates, unfortunately, but if your child is age 4 or under and you want to bring them with you, they will not require to pay for a ticket, but they will still require a ticket. So if you are thinking about coming and you want to get your tickets, that's absolutely fine. You need to let us know you've got a child coming. We'll also make sure they get a ticket, but you don't have to pay for them if they're 4 or under. Now, this year, things have changed around a little bit, and I'll explain those. One of the things we found last year is that we had the main room, which had the pin trading and everything else going on, and the pin traders didn't feel they could trade properly because there was they didn't want to make too much noise because of what was going on in the front of the room with the different the presentation, things like that that were happening, and they didn't necessarily feel that they got a chance to trade as much as they want because they kept being dragged into what was going on in the room rather than them trading. So one of the suggestions was to try and get a separate room for them this year, which is exactly what we've managed to do. So we've got the main room, which is going to have presentations and all those sort of things. And then we've got a secondary room, which is a fairly decent-sized room, which is going to hold quite a few pin traders. And that is going to be open for the entire 2 days. And I don't just mean during event hours. It's going to be open overnight. You will be able to basically trade to your fade, swap until you drop, whatever you want to call it. You're going to be able to do that for the entire 2 days. And if you want to spend the entire 2 days in there, that is absolutely no problem whatsoever. We're hoping to have some bits and pieces going on in that room as well as the pin trading, so that should hopefully be really cool. We are planning on bringing back presentations, the trivia quiz, the live podcast recordings, and we're currently in talks with other people to bring other elements to Mouse Meets as well, some old and hopefully a lot that are new. We can't really say much more at the minute, but I think we can safely say, just that we're currently in discussions with some very, very exciting things.
Oh yes, there's some things that were, yeah, I mean, And some things that came back on certain email from some place that I felt if one of them come back, I was chuffed about. But they were quite willing to talk about several items with us. So,
yes, certainly are. And we're just basically in the case of a waiting game now. We're just waiting to get a meeting with those people so we can actually sit down and talk all of those things through. And as soon as we've had that meeting, we'll certainly be in a better position to be able to tell you guys about some of those exciting things that are going to be happening. But know that you are now sat shouting at your iPod or your car radio or wherever you're listening, saying, well, look, where do we get tickets from? How do we get those tickets? Well, if you are a DB23 member, you can go over to your section on the forum right now, and there is a link in there for you to buy your tickets. There is no limit whatsoever for the number of tickets you want to buy. You can buy as many as you want, but they are currently exclusively on sale to DB23 members. If you're not a member of DB23, it's not too late for you to join up. Go to disneybrit.com. On the right-hand side, there is a link. You can also go over to the forum, ionorlando.com/forum, and you'll find a link in the Disney Brit section, which will tell you about how you can join DB23. It's £15 for the year, and then you get access for earlier to the Mousemeat tickets. If you are not a member and you want to buy tickets, they go on general sale on the 1st of November. So on the 1st of November 2010, you are going to be able to buy tickets for Mousemeats. They go on general sale. You'll be able to find it in several locations. You'll find it. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll put it on Twitter. We'll also put it on our forums. You'll also find a link, hopefully, on the Disney Brit homepage. And, yes, a link on mousemeats.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a link on there as well for tickets to go on general sale. Now, we do know that there is a huge amount of interest in this year's event, and a lot of people who didn't come last year are planning on coming this year, and we were sold out last year, and we are equally expecting...
Within about 2 weeks, wasn't it?
It was within just under two weeks. We sold out. We even had to put more tickets on sale, and we sold out of those as well. We are expecting more people this year than we had last year. We have got more tickets on sale, but not a huge amount more than last year. So if you are wanting to come, make sure you get your tickets early. Now, another thing that's new this year that we haven't had this year and we need to tell you about now is that there will not be a refund policy on tickets this year. Last year, a lot of people bought their tickets early and then decided they weren't going to come because they had something else they need to do and came to get refunds, and we allowed it last year. But just purely for the amount of from our point of view, that there's a lot of cost involved in running Mousemeats, a huge amount of cost. We won't be able to offer refunds on tickets this year. Just as you get in cinemas, or you get in the theatre, or you get going on a plane, things like that, if you can't make it, unfortunately you have to forfeit the amount. I think that's fairly fair for us to say, isn't it, because of the amount of money it really does cost to put a Mousemeats.
Yeah, there's a lot of investment here. I mean, from all of us, our own pockets, things like Le Squeak, etc., put money in, Disney Brit put money in, and, you know, we don't make anything out of this. We just, the more money we got, the more we spent on other things to add to it.
Yes.
And then the refunds killed us a bit, because it just meant that we had to cover out of our own pockets again. And we, you know, once again, if we get as much money as we hope to, then we intend to spend that on taking it to the extra level. So all the money we get in, we'll re-spend.
Yeah, basically, and we try to get the best we possibly can for the event, and for the event to grow, we want to be able to do that as well. Right, there we go. I think that is absolutely everything. Is there anything else you can think of?
I'm bored now. Where's Craig?
Where's Craig? He's not coming back.
Oh.
Right, there's the end of our news.
Woohoo!
Hello and welcome to day 4 of the Disney Daily Diary, where I'm actually on day 5. I'm walking down to breakfast. I'm going to go and get myself something from the Saratoga Food Court. But I'll let you know what happened today. We went over to the Magic Kingdom for our first day there. Arrived nice and early, but before we went in, we actually went over to Kona Cafe. There's a very noisy leaf blower just going past me. We went to Kona Cafe for breakfast and had the fantastic Tonga toast, and the Tonga toast really is good. It is huge. It is absolutely massive, this piece of Tonga toast. For those who don't know what it is, it's like a sourdough bread that has banana stuffed inside. It's covered in like cinnamon sugar and almost pretty much deep fried, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So we went there and they recognised that it was our anniversary.
So they brought out at the end, because bearing in mind, this is the sort of thing you eat at breakfast, they brought us out some chocolate profiteroles with cream on top, with a Lilo and Stitch dusted on one side, because obviously it's in the Polynesian. Really good food. We headed then over to the Magic Kingdom for about 9 o'clock, and we literally got there just as the park opened, and it was dead. There was nobody really there at all. So we decided to head over to Adventureland and work our way around. So we did Adventureland, Frontierland, then we sort of bypassed Fantasyland, Toontown, and headed over to Tomorrowland, did a few bits there. Got a fast pass for Space Mountain because the queue for that was quite big. But as we knew that the day was going quite well, you know, we got through quite a lot of stuff. At around 3 o'clock, we decided that we would try and, having had Pecos Bills, that is, having had my third of a pound burger, which was excellent, we decided we would try and get somewhere for dinner, go and find somewhere to eat. We were planning on staying in the Magic Kingdom all day, which is exactly what we did, but we wanted to find somewhere close. So we went to guest services, to City Hall, to see what dining was available. A few bits and pieces at Funny Times, which were a bit close, but at 6:25 there was a reservation for the Wave in the Contemporary, so we decided to go and give that a go. And it was one of the best last minute dining choices we could have made. Food was excellent. The service was also excellent. Again, we celebrated that it was our anniversary with some nice little touches from the waitress, and just a truly, truly wonderful meal. So we sort of left there. We headed back over to the Magic Kingdom, went over to Tomorrowland, rode Space Mountain, did the Tomorrowland Speedway, went and had one of those fantastic fruit tropical smoothies from Auntie Gravity's. And then it was really ready to go and get ourselves in line for the parade of fireworks. So situated ourselves on Main Street about an hour before, because it was quite busy for the parade for the fireworks. And it's great to see the Main Street Electrical Parade again. It really is a fantastic show. Really just show you just how far Disney have come with their nighttime parades. But it just also so nostalgic to see such a fantastic show back in the Magic Kingdom again. It really reminds me of just why it was one of my favourite nighttime shows. Then it was the Summer Nightastic Fireworks Spectacular, the new sort of revised show that came as part of the Princess and Pirates Party, or Pirates and Princesses Party, sorry. Had a few changes. It's got the Fairy Godmother in charge, has some fantastic effects for when the pirates storm the castle. The perimeter fireworks really do go a long way. If you're going to be watching this and you want to see all the perimeter fireworks, you need to stand yourself right towards the end of Main Street as it opens out, so you can turn to Frontierland, sort of where Casey's Corner is, really, and you'll get the full effect of those fireworks. And then we headed home. Had a fantastic day. And we'll join you next tomorrow as we head back into the Magic Kingdom eventually, and I'll let you know how that day goes. Our Around the World in 80 Segments segment has left the Magic Kingdom. We've completed that park, and we said that the next step would be the Magic Kingdom Resort Hotels, and we are going to indeed do that. And I thought we'd do it in order that they opened, rather than necessarily the order they appear on the monorail. We'd do it in order that they opened, and somebody said to people, what is the first resort hotel to open? And people say, Juz.
First resort hotel to open... Polly.
You see, yeah, Polly, it is indeed. But a lot of people think the Contemporary, but actually the Polly opened
crazy people
4 hours earlier than the Contemporary. So we're going to start off with the Polynesian Resort, and we're going to take you on a little bit of a tour. Juz has stayed there. I, unfortunately, am not rich enough to stay there. Craig stayed there, but unfortunately, as we said, he's not with us this week. So the Polynesian Resort Hotel is a deluxe hotel, obviously based around the idea of Polynesian islands. It's got lush vegetation, thatched roofs, koi ponds, white sand outside, and lake beaches. It's all based around this idea of the South Pacific and the Ohana. Now, let's tell you a little bit about the resort. So there are 11 two-story and three-story village longhouses that flank the Great Ceremonial House.
They're built to resemble the Royal Tahitian Assembly Lodge. The resort has 847 rooms. They're all decorated to fit in with the theme, with both bamboo and rattan. You've then got the Great Ceremonial House in the middle. You've got the craggy volcanic rock. You've got the coconut palm trees. You've got loads of... the website says 75 different indigenous species. There's also shopping, dining, and also the Polynesian Luau, and they have the torch lighting ceremony. I think that still goes on. They've also got traditional fire knife dances and drumming and all sorts of stuff. Now, you've also got the volcanic pool. That's got a 40-foot high volcano with a water slide, and it's got a waterfall in there as well. There's fishing, boating, water skiing, parasailing around Bay Lake, and swimming unofficially, and Seven Seas Lagoon. So there's also a great place to watch the electrical water pageant from, which is held nightly. The Polynesian Resort has been designated at the Florida Green Lodging Program and is recognised for its resort's environmental practices as well. So there's loads of stuff that go on in there. There's also stuff for children. The activities include this 24-hour high-tech games room, there's a wet play area. There is a club called the Neverland Club, which is a place where children aged 3 to 12 can go and supervise activities. And parents can put them in there for a small fee and have a carefree night without the kids. And there's also character breakfast dining at Lilo and Stitch's Ohana restaurant that happens as well. Juz, can you just can you name all of the longhouses?
Yes, there's little long house, there's slightly bigger long house. Am I right in thinking that the rooms of the Poly were actually slid into the actual casing that was there? It was almost like a drawer situation. No. Where the rooms were built. Are you going to say no, it's somewhere else?
That's the contemporary.
I think it's the Poly as well here.
Really?
I think the Poly had that room where they were just slid in.
I wonder whether you're right. If anybody knows the answer to that, email us, podcast@disneybrit.com. I don't know about that one. I know certainly the Contemporary was built as a steel A-frame and then they slid the rooms in. I don't know about Poly, but it'd be interesting to hear if they were. I don't know whether that's true or not. Maybe it is. Right, so longhouse names. Are you going to read the longhouse names or am I?
Go on, you read them.
So we've got Tonga, they've got Aotearoa, we've got Fiji, we've got Tuvalu, we've got Hawaii, we've got Samoa, we've got Niue, we've got Rarotonga, we've got the Tukealoa, we've got the Tahiti, and then we've got the Rapanui. I think that is right. Talk about.
Because the Tuvalu used to be the Samoa, didn't it?
Yeah, there was a few that used to
be. They've swapped round. In fact, they've done a few of that, sort of, let's move the names around to confuse people to go back and go, I'm back. Oh, it's not where I thought it was.
There's, in fact, only one of those that's kept his name in the entire lifetime that it's been there. Right, there's loads of different rooms. Now, what we're going to do is just tell you the different types of rooms you got. I'm not going through all of the bits and pieces you get in the room because that's a huge amount I'm going to take you. But we'll tell you the types of rooms, the cost, and the amount of people. So the bog standard, the lowest price room, is the standard room with a garden view. Okay, which usually, when it says garden view, it means plants and greenery. Don't think posh garden, just plants and greenery. So it could be a view of the parking area, garden pool, marina, or monorail.
That's what I paid for.
Is that what you paid for?
The so garden view, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't get it, but go on, that's what I paid for.
So you get a maximum of 5 people in a room. You for every additional adult on top of that, for all of these, $25 per adult per night. But you get just most of them are standard, but just to give you these, so 2 queen size bed, a day bed, small table, chair, ceiling fan, bathroom, high speed internet for initial fee, cable TV, in room safe, voicemail, hairdryer, iron and ironing board, air alarm clock, coffee maker, and refrigerator. The standard room comes in between $365 to $540 a night. Okay, that's sort of rack rate, so it's not particularly cheap. You've then got the standard room with a lagoon view. That's 5, again, in the room. That's Seven Seas Lagoon, basically, view. That comes in at $470 to $675 a night. So you say you had the standard view, garden view room, yeah?
No, I paid for the garden view, yeah.
All right, you can tell us what you got in a second then.
Okay.
Then we've got the standard room with theme park view. That's quite understandable. It's views of the Magic Kingdom theme park and the Seven Seas Lagoon. Okay, so it's not necessarily a full view of the Magic Kingdom. That comes in at $510 to $730 a night. Then you've got the club level with concierge service, which then we go back to a standard room with garden view again, 5. You get... obviously the standard room, which is the garden view or a quiet pool this time, but then you also get advanced itinerary planning services, you get a personalised front desk and concierge service between 7am and 10pm, evening turn down with chocolates, you get secure key access to the club level floor and lounge, which serves continental breakfast between 7 and 10.30, midday snack between 11.30am and 4pm, evening wine and cheese between 5 and 7, and evening cordials and dessert between 8 and 10, complimentary health club access, weekly newspaper of the USA Today, complimentary fax assistance, and the opportunity to book the wildlife discovery excursions at Disney's Animal Kingdom. That one comes in at $505 to $725 a night. Is that the one you got?
No, it wasn't that posh.
Oh, so which one did you get then?
It's a variant of the theme park view. It's actually called the Castle View.
Okay.
And there's a couple of rooms which are classed as the Castle View, which gives you the perfect straight-on picture of the castle.
Right.
And you get the best view of all that area, and we got the Castle View room.
So you didn't get any concierge then?
No, I think we'd had enough of concierge at that time, because we're slumming it a bit at that point.
You've done Animal Kingdom concierge, I think.
Yeah.
All right, there we go, then we'll come on to that later when we get to Animal Kingdom. Then you've got club level with concierge service. This is a standard room with lake view, again, for five people. You then get... That's 6:30 to 8:70 a night. You then get the honeymoon suite, which again has everything included. It can be connected to the Kamehameha suite. Oh, rubbish, what is going on here? That's again 6:30 to 8:70. You get all the stuff, but you also get DVD player and you get robes in there as well. Obviously, being a honeymoon suite, it only sleeps two, so you get the same space, but for less people. You've then got the one-bedroom princess suite that again has everything you expect in it. That's $845 to $1,225 a night. Wow. There's then the two-bedroom princess suite. That sleeps nine people, so we're getting a little bit bigger now. That can again be connected to the King Kamehameha suite. if there's anybody listening in Hawaii, or the South Pacific, I severely apologise for me hammering your culture and language. They've got a wet bar in there. They've got all sorts of bits and pieces. That's $1,440 to $1,960 a night. So it really is. We're getting expensive now. The two-bedroom ambassador suite, that is eight people that sleeps. That's $1,585 to $2,195 a night. And then you've got the biggie, the King Kamehameha suite, which sleeps eight people. This is the one to have. Can connect to the honeymoon suite and the two-bedroom princess suite. That is between $2,110 and $2,875 a night. A huge amount of money for some of those rooms. We want to talk a little bit about the ambience, the atmosphere, what it looks like in the resort itself. And as we sort of go round the resort, we're going to dip into some of the restaurants that we find. So, Juz, the Great Ceremonial House is the place where all of the dining and everything takes place, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah, fantastic building. If you're going to talk ambience, that is the ultimate in ambience, the whole place of that. Yeah. But yeah, dining is where you'll find me.
Dining is certainly where you'll find Juz. It's pretty much where you'll find me as well. So let's talk about some of the dining locations. So upstairs in the ceremonial house, one of the first places you're going to meet as you go upstairs, or you're going to see, is Kona Cafe.
Now, what's that famous for?
Oh, I wonder what that's famous for. Have you been to Kona Cafe?
I might have gone for a particular piece of food.
Well, I've had breakfast at Kona Cafe, and they have some great food. You have a lot of your standard stuff, things like steak and eggs, your eggs two ways, you have your pancakes, but they also do some special stuff just for this restaurant. You've got the big kahuna, which is French toast, macadamia pineapple pancakes, and then you've got potatoes and bits that go with that. You can have the pancakes on their own, but they have one particular... Oh, they have the Samoan as well, which is a sort of poached egg that's got hollandaise sauce and it's got smoked pulled pork hash over it as well. But the one that I certainly have had, and I think you've had as well, is the big draw, is the Tonga Toast.
Tonga Toast.
Tonga Toast is amazing. We have to explain what Tonga Toast is. Imagine, like, it's a loaf of sour bread. It's not a whole loaf. It's part of a loaf. It might as well be a whole loaf. It's huge. sourdough bread is obviously different to your normal bread. It's a lot sweeter. And what they do is they stuff the middle of it with bananas. And then they fry it and then cover it in cinnamon sugar. They serve it with a strawberry compote. And then you can have a choice of ham bacon and sausage with it as well. But Tonga Toast truly is just
awesome.
Amazing. It is absolutely amazing. It's huge. Seriously, you can eat that. You probably want to eat for the rest of the day for a lot of people. It is massive. But another thing that they do, which I think is really nice, is they do their different coffees. You can also take home your own bag of Kona Blend coffee. You can do Kona Blend, which is about $15, and then the 100% Kona, which is about $40 a bag, which is quite a lot. But there's some really nice coffees in there as well. If we go into things like dinner times and things like that, they do Kona cocktails as well, which we'll come on to a little bit later, but we'll talk about those when we get there. But we've also got lunch and we've got dinner as well that they have. Some interesting ones that stand out there. You've got the Polynesian plate lunch, which is pan-fried chicken, coconut mango sauce, and they do a teriyaki steak as well. Have you done lunch there?
I haven't, no.
No, I can't say I have either. But
although looking back through this menu, I wish I had.
Yeah, there's some great-looking stuff on here. Some very Asian-inspired cuisine, chicken chop salad, some noodle bowls. You've got the Angus Chuck Kahuna Burger, which just sounds like it's going to be massive. Some fish things on there, barbecue pork tacos, some bits and pieces. And then you have your standard drinks that sort of go with that. And then you can have the chef's experience, where it says our chefs have chosen a few of their favourites so you can enjoy a truly exceptional Kona Cafe experience. You can choose from one of each of the categories for $29.99. And this is some of your sushi bits and pieces in there, I think, in there. It's a cucumber sushi roll and some more coconut and almond stuff as well. But then you've got dinner in the evening. Have you done dinner?
No, not there, because of course there's a nicer restaurant just a bit further up.
Yes, there is, yes. I haven't done dinner here either, but they again have some sushi bits and pieces. You've got pomegranate barbecue pork chop, some ginger crusted ribeye. So again, it's very South Pacific style cuisine, which means there's some really nice stuff in there. Teriyaki style New York strip sounds really nice. Then they have desserts. You've got white chocolate cheesecakes, banana chocolate creme brulee, which sounds amazing, chocolate fondues, all those sort of bits and pieces as well. So some great nice offerings in there. Kids menu, just very quickly, they do the standard things such as buttermilk pancakes. They do like French toast rolled in cinnamon sugar, and they do goofy toast bits like that as well. For lunch, you get chicken strips and fish, the standard sort of stuff that you would expect. So there's one of the locations that you can enjoy inside. Let's sort of head down to a snack area, which is Captain Cook's. You enjoyed some of Captain Cook's?
At the time we were there, it was moving around a bit, so no, it was Clues, I'm afraid, when we were there.
I know Craig has eaten in Captain Cook's, and he has raved about it. Certainly, it's the only other location in Walt Disney World in which you can buy yourself a
Dole Whip.
Dole Whip. You can get yourself a Dole Whip. I remember Craig texting us once to tell us that he was sat in Captain Cook's and he was on his third Dole Whip.
Could you get Tonga Toast from upstairs, come down and ask for a Dole Whip to put on top of it?
How good would that be? Well, it's funny you say that, you know, because you can actually buy Tonga Toast for breakfast from Captain Cook's.
Is it the same size?
No, it's a slightly smaller version. It's only $5. But you get the breakfast platter down there. They do breakfast sandwiches. You get Tonga Toast, Mickey Waffles. You can get the breakfast plates for children and things like that. It then becomes a bakery as well. This is between 6:30 and 10:30 a.m. Then they change for lunch between about 10:30 to 11 o'clock, 10:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. And they do lunch and dinner there. They do, again, cheeseburgers, turkey club sandwiches, things like that. And you get flatbreads there as well. They do a cheese and pepperoni Hawaiian, and they usually do a flatbread of the day there as well. So loads of really great stuff down there in Captain Cook's. But there is one place that I think I know Jez absolutely loves, and that is Ohana.
Oh, God, that's amazing.
So do you want to explain a little bit about the Ohana experience?
You know, this is where I first got bought into the whole Ohana bit, really, because they greet everyone as cousin. And it's all very, very friendly, and it's... You've eaten at Ohana yourself, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, right.
No,
you've been in there, been past
I've been past it. I've seen people going in as they get their laves first thing in the morning. It was a place that I wanted to eat, but because we went with that Harry in the summer, Zoe was sort of like, oh, I don't really want to do character meet and greets without Harry, so we held off, and we'll probably try and do it next year when we go.
Right, there's a two one. You got the breakfast there, but the evening meal I'll touch on first is where eat as much as you like, or what they call these days, eat as much as you care to eat or something, isn't it?
Yes.
they sort of changed it to be PC, and I never quite understood that. And they bring the meat on skewers to the table. So you've got these big lobs of chicken coming down on skewers, and sausage and sirloin and shrimp. and they just bring the skewer and you get the skewer's load there, and then they bring another lot across. And oh, the food is out of this world. Oh, it is.
That's one thing to make people aware of, that although it's an eat as much as you can sort of thing, that it's a lazy eat as much as you can in the front. Yeah. You don't even need to get out of your seat. They bring the food to you, don't they?
Well, the whole atmosphere is just so laid back. It really is very bizarre when you first go in there, because it's slightly dark and it's laid back, and there's also a lot of entertainment that goes on at the same time. You know, people can be picked on to do certain things, but, you know, nowhere near as some of the other ones. But, you know, if you don't want to be picked on or you don't want to be involved in it, you're fine. You sit away from that. But the whole... Everyone is so nice, and it's also laid back and cool. You know, sometimes you go into the place and you feel you're getting rushed.
Yeah.
This is the farthest thing from the truth here. They will come and they'll go, are you sure you don't want more? You know, it's one of those. It's like having your mum there. Oh, go on, have a bit more. Have a bit more. Go on. And I would say, I think the price, how much you got priced down there for? It wasn't that bad.
The price is reasonably good. For dinner for adults, it's $34.99, and for children, it's $15.99, and that includes your drinks and all your food.
Yeah. It was, you know, to be honest with you, if you go there on an empty stomach, you know, after Magic Kingdom, which on the route back, if you're not staying there,
yeah.
it's awesome. The food is fantastic. The atmosphere is brilliant. And I've been there a couple of times and not had one of the bad ones where you come away going, oh, the server's a bit funny. Everyone was really nice.
And you get, the dinner's open from 5 till 10 p.m., so it's a good time there. I just want to try the dessert, the bread pudding with bananas Foster.
Oh, that was incredible.
It just sounds amazing.
And by the way, so is the welcome bread, by the way. You get this bread, and it is with sort of like, I think it says on there, greens. Yeah, and you think, it's a bit like when you first ever get banana bread. And it really is gorgeous, but no, the Foster's banana pudding was out of this world.
That sounds good to me. Okay, let's skip back to breakfast then.
Yes.
7:30 to 11. Now, it's right thinking, do you get the lathes around your neck when you go for dinner, or is it just for breakfast?
We got them, but, well, can I point out that I got them for the dinner, the kids all got them for the breakfast, because I didn't make breakfast.
Ah, yeah, say no more. So you get lathes as you go in as well,
yes,
for the meals. So,
I've still got the lathes.
You've still got the lathes, there you go. Because we saw all these people wandering around with lathes when we were sat eating in Kona Cafe.
Bearing in mind, you get them as well when you book into the hotel. You get presented with them as you book into the hotel. You have to bend down, they give you them as well.
Excellent. So it's all very very part of the culture, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
So breakfast is the Ohana breakfast, served from 7:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Adults $24.99, children $13.99, under threes are free. And again, it's very much the same sort of style. You get some scrambled eggs, they do fried potatoes, they do like a pork breakfast sausage, you get Mickey shaped waffles, you get assorted breakfast breads, you get fruit, you get unlimited orange juice, milk and coffee included as well. So what did your kids and your family say about the breakfast?
They adored it. They thought it was absolutely brilliant, one of the best character breakfasts they've been to.
Excellent.
They were full of it. I really was ashamed I missed it, but I was not fit state to go.
It certainly is one I want to try. It's got one of my all-time favourite characters in it. It's got Stitch in there.
Lilo.
Lilo, yes, the inflatable Lilo. That sounds really wrong, doesn't it?
only when you said it sounded wrong, because I think it's wrong.
Dear. Stitch. I love Stitch, so I'd love to go and see that. Well, on the same level, actually connected to Kona Cafe, is the Kona Coffee House. And also during the day as well, it becomes the Kona Island Sushi Bar there as well. So you've got the Kona Island Coffee Bar, which just, again, just to let you know, just a load of different coffees. They range in price from a regular coffee, $1.99, all the way up to a Grand Cafe Mocha, which is $5.49. They do some pastries and stuff there as well. That operates from 6:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. But the new, and this is brand new, Kona Island Sushi Bar that you get in Polynesian as well, started serving from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And they are doing a lot of your sushi sort of stuff. They've got dragon hand rolled stuff, which is barbecued eel. Now I think that's probably just a step too far for me. Kona crab cake rolls sound good, as does the volcano roll and all those sort of things. So you can now get your sushi stuff there as well, and you can get wine and you can get sake there as well, which is something a little bit different. That's only really appeared in the past year or so, I think. There's one other thing that you find in the Polynesian, which is the dinner show that they have over there, the Spirit of Aloha dinner show. Have you tried this, Juz?
I think it's absolutely awesome. One of the best best dinner shows there is. And do you know what? When we went, we were probably one of the, well, I think we were probably the only UK people here. It's something that all the Americans know about, but, you know, it's not pushed over in the UK when you go across. Without a shout out, the best dinner show Disney does.
I completely agree with you. It is one of these shows of which is very rarely talked about by a lot of people. Do be aware about this show, though, because it is outdoor. That's right, I'm thinking that, aren't I? That it is outdoor. Because it's outdoor, it is at risk of weather. So if it gets really cold or there's high winds or storms that are expected to last a good while, then they will cancel the shows, just so to make you aware of that. But again, it's All You Care to Enjoy Feast, which has loads of stuff. You get the appetizers, you get loads of breads again. You can get, there's barbecued pork ribs, chicken, there's rice, and there's vegetables. And then desserts, you've got the Volcanic Delight, as well as All You Care to Drink beer, wine, pink lemonade, Coke Diet Coke, Sprite, and coffee, hot and iced tea, and milk. And available on request for children are, there's the box meal, which includes peanut butter and jelly. And they've got their signature and speciality cocktails, as well as their different beers as well. Which show did you go and see, the 5:15 or the 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock show.
And what was the food like for you?
Food was awesome. I mean, these people, you know, you think some areas it's all you can eat, but once again, it comes to your table.
Right.
And it's just, the show's on, and you're just constantly getting fed, you know, empty plate, it was refilled. From a drink aspect, you think, oh, all these, you know, it's beers included, etc. They're going to be a bit tight with it, because you do get that. You know, your glass was half empty and they'd be filling it back up again. The food was out of this world. And to be honest with you, the thing I've actually fell in love with was pineapple and coconut bread. Was amazing. I could eat that, so it's coming out of my ears. But no, the food is incredible there.
Excellent, that sounds good. So let's just tell you a little bit about the show. So they run every Tuesday through Saturday at 5:15 and 8 o'clock. Show lasts approximately 2 hours. The Spirit of Aloha Dinner Show is a tiered pricing system, and reservations can be made up to 90 days in advance. So Category 1 adults, $61.99. That includes tax and gratuity, and it's $31.99 children 3 to 9. There is no charge for 2 and under. If you go for Category 2, $56.99 and $27.99 for children, and Category 3 is $52.99 and $26.99 for children. Is there a massive difference in the seating positions for these different prices?
No, it's basically from front to back. So, you know, you're just going further back, but then they're slightly raised towards the back under the cover.
Right.
We were right in front of the stage, and we weren't expecting to be right in front of the stage, and that was great. And the seats are strange, because if you imagine the stage at the front, and then the seats are running vertically away from the stage.
Right, okay.
So it's not like you sat there and you're looking straight at the stage. You're on a slight, but the chair moves, so you're on a slight angle to the stage all the time. So we're right in front of it.
Turn, so you, quite cool. Okay. Well, there you go. That's the Polynesian Resort. Really, we're going to go through each and every resort that's around the Magic Kingdom area and give you our opinions on some of those things. Some we've stayed in, some we haven't got any experience in whatsoever, other than visiting for maybe a day or for an event or something like that, which we hope we'll bring to you as we go through each of the resorts.
Can I just make one thing?
Yes.
The pool is really cool.
It's a cool pool.
The pool is really nice, because the water, it starts off bubbling in the main building. It comes all the way down to the pool.
Well,
but the pool is really one of the nicest pools that Disney's got, because you can sit there and you can see straight across, you know, the lagoon and on towards Magic Kingdom, and the beach is lovely as well. But as you say, I agree with what you said before, the beach is incredible if you're just like a romantic time just to sit and watch Electric Pageant and watch Wishes, because you can hear the Wishes music and everything. It's a lovely resort if you can afford it. It did like I did. I did, and I think Craig did roughly the same as well, to have that one special night. It was our last night, or I think Craig was his anniversary, wasn't it, or something?
It was, yeah.
It's that kind of, if you go to one of the resorts, I would recommend that as a resort to go to for that special time and just enjoy yourselves. But, you know, we don't have to go to the parks, but you can enjoy the actual resort itself.
I think that's one of the things about this resort, is the fact that it does have a lot of stuff there for you to be able to enjoy without having to go out to any of the parks.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at the end of the day, if you're spending this kind of money, enjoy the place. If you want to enjoy the parks, go value. This is, you know, this is how we did it. This was a special time, and we loved it because of that.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for joining me once again, as always.
Me and Craig are always pleased to... Oh, no, it's just me. To join.
It's just you today, not him. Right, well, thank you very much. I will let you all get on with the rest of your lives until we come back in a couple of weeks' time, where we're going to have a load of stuff from Disneyland Paris and the Halloween stuff and some special bits and pieces. So thank you once again.
Bye.
Thank you once again for joining us for this edition of the show. Thank you, of course, to our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Villas. You can find them at www.columbus-vacations.com. Please do check those out for your vacation needs if you're maybe renting to go on holiday or if you are looking for someone to look after your villa out there in Orlando. Thanks to Juz joining me and to Craig for just being on holiday and not being here this week. But make sure you email us your questions, your comments and your suggestions. You can email those to podcast@disneybrit.com. We do love hearing from you. We do continue to reply to all the emails that you send. Make sure you check out our website at disneybrit.com. There you can find the link to our DB23 members club on the right hand side. Also the forums, you can do that as well. Now, of course, go over to our forums at ionorlando.com/forum. Sign up there if you haven't done so already. Loads of great stuff on there, including that information about the DB23 Members Club. You can, of course, check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page and our Destination Disney fan page and all of those bits and pieces. You can friend up myself, Juz and Craig, or leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you to those who continue to do that. You can also find our new YouTube channel. Search for Disney Brit Podcast, our YouTube channel over there. There will be some more stuff coming up on there very soon as I head out to Disneyland Paris at the weekend. Loads of stuff I'm going to cover with all the bits and pieces that are going on over there. But remember, you can listen to our new radio show on 1410 AM Heartbeat Radio between 11 PM and 1 AM on Friday evenings. That's 6 to 8 PM Disney time. You can also listen at heartbeatradiousa.com or visit the website destinationdisney.info, and you can listen to it on there as well as downloading it from iTunes. Of course, don't forget, Mouse Meets tickets go on general sale on the 1st of November. You can find that again on our forums. It'll be posted. It'll be posted on Twitter. It'll also be posted on Facebook and at mousemeats.co.uk. You'll be able to find the link on there as well. Please check out our sister podcast, Ion Orlando, the Ion Orlando radio show. Please check that out. And, well, really, that's it. And the next show, which will be Disneyland Paris filled, will be released on Wednesday, the 10th of November. So until then, I'll see you.